And our reading today is Matthew 6, and starting at verse 5. And we're using the NIV. And Jesus is speaking. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now I'm going to pray for Tim before he speaks to us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. It's alive and active. Thank you, Father, for encouraging Tim this week and blessing him with a message for us. Anoint him afresh, Holy Spirit. Protect and bless him now as he comes to speak to us. And Father, open our hearts to what you want to say to us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks so much, Suzanne. Good morning, everyone. Great to see you. As Suzanne said, we're beginning a new series looking at the mystery of prayer. And the truth is, lots of people pray. According to a survey reported by the BBC in 2021, young people, 18 to 34-year-olds, are twice as likely to pray as older people. Is that interesting? Apparently, 51% of young people, 24% of over 55s, pray at least once a month. That means that millions upon millions of people in our nation, your work colleagues, friends, family members, neighbors, especially young adults, are praying. Is that interesting? Why is that? Well, I wonder if the reason people pray is simply because of the reality that life is often hard. Anyone found that? Yeah? If you haven't got your hand up, please come and speak to me afterwards. Let me know the secret. Life's hard. We find ourselves at least once a month facing challenges that seem overwhelming, sometimes every day. You know, worry and anxiety can quickly dominate our hearts and our minds. So what do you do when you hit a crisis? I expect many of those monthly prayers are kind of the 999 emergency kind of help prayers. And again, it's interesting that, you know, people are instinctively aware, most people are instinctively aware that the help they need is not just human help, but something supernatural, something divine. You know, whenever I ask a friend if they would like me to pray for them, and I do that quite a lot, they don't just normally say yes. They normally say, yes, please. I encourage you to do that with your friends. But prayer is a mystery, not least because, if we are honest, it can often seem like prayer doesn't work. You ever found that? You know, we pray for our sick friends. to get well and they die. We pray for a family member to become a Christian and they don't. We pray for things to go well in life and they get harder. I was talking to someone this week about prayer and they said, what's the point of prayer? It doesn't seem to change anything. And anyway, if God already knows everything, why pray? It's a good question, isn't it? In fact, that's the thing that Jesus himself raises in the words we've just read. He says, verse 8, look, God already knows what you need before you ask him. So why pray? Maybe you've got questions like that. Maybe you've given up on prayer. Maybe you've tried praying, but it feels kind of empty and dry. Maybe you want to pray, but you don't know how. You know, at the time of Jesus, lots of people prayed. But like us, many found it difficult and confusing. But the disciples, they see something different in Jesus. Because here comes someone whose prayers always worked. It's like, wow. And whose extraordinary life of ministry and power, where he just sees amazing things. It seems to have its foundation in prayer. Jesus would spend so much time in prayer, all nights in prayer. And so in Luke's account of the Lord's Prayer, that they come to Jesus and they say, listen, can you teach us to pray like you pray? Like, can you tell us the secret to prayer that actually works? Because we're finding prayer doesn't seem to work. And so the reason it's called the Lord's Prayer is because Jesus is actually giving us a glimpse into his own prayer life and prayer that works, the secret of its power. This is a prayer with words that might be familiar to you, but as Pope Benedict wrote, it reaches down into depths far beyond words. If this is kind of rightly understood, it is a gateway into a life of prayer that can lead into the deepest encounters with God you've ever had. It's a gateway to discovering and receiving the greatest riches and treasure that you could ever imagine. It's kind of simple enough that a child can learn it, but so deep that the wisest saint will never plumb its depths. There is a lot of treasure we're going to discover. And in order to experience that sort of prayer, Jesus actually begins his teaching by telling us how not to pray. Yeah? He kind of says, there are ways of praying that are guaranteed not to work, and lots of people are doing them. That's quite a sobering thought, isn't it? You can be praying every day in a way that just doesn't work, doesn't get heard, doesn't get answered. Jesus says there are some people who are getting this all wrong, and he kind of gives two key instructions just to kind of get ready to start praying, and that's what we're going to look at today. If you want prayer that works, if you want to be able to deal with all the trouble, anxiety, and difficulty of life, this is what Jesus says you must do. The first thing is this. He says you have to stop pretending. You have to stop pretending, and you have to get real with God. At its most basic level, prayer has to be honest and real. Verse 5, look, Jesus says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. What is a hypocrite? Well, it comes from the Greek word for stage player. You know, ancient Greek actors, they would wear masks to represent different characters. And at this point, Jesus is especially speaking to religious people. Because religious people, people who go to church, are very good, often find themselves good at pretending. Do you notice that? We wear masks. You know, we come to church, we pretend we're better and more spiritual than we are, that life is more sorted than it is. You know, we give this impression that isn't the reality often. You know, pastors can do that more than anyone. There can be a huge gap between the kind of public image and the private reality. And that's always been a problem. You see, Jesus talks about those who love to pray in public. That might sound strange, but it was very kind of normal then. Prayer would be led by people standing at the front of the synagogue. And then at special kind of festival times, the trumpets would ring out and people would just stop and pray in the street. And what would have been so surprising to those who are listening to Jesus at this moment is that Jesus appears to be criticizing the good people. Yeah, the people who are doing the right things. They're leading the prayer. They're coming to church. They're upstanding citizens. So what's wrong? Well, look, verse 5. The issue is why they're doing it. It is to be seen by men. To be seen by men. This kind of prayer is not seeking God. It's about seeking the attention and affirmation of others. And we can do that so easily in life, in the way we pray, in the way we serve, when we're thinking not about God, but about what others think of us, the praise we want for others. And that doesn't just happen in church, does it? You know, today we see all kinds of kind of what's called virtue signaling. This picture made me laugh. Where companies or individuals, they post on social media their support for a particular cause simply to be seen to be good. It's like the tobacco company that sponsors the health advert. It's hypocritical. And Jesus says prayer or good works like that just before this, he says they count for nothing. They go nowhere. He says, verse 5, look, they've received their reward in full. And it's an ironic statement that basically means if all that someone wants is praise from people in praying or giving, that is all they will get. It's all they get. And they miss what could have been. See, God isn't interested in pretending. Why? Well, he's actually interested in our hearts, because God is longing for a real meeting between himself and us. And you can't have a real meeting with someone if you're wearing a mask. You can't have a real relationship that way. Prayer is an opportunity for the real you to meet the real God. But that's also a challenge, because if we're being real, well, what about all our doubts? What about all our questions? What about all our sin? I mean, what would God do if we were actually honest with him? Well, Jesus actually tells a story about what God does when we're honest. Luke 18, he tells this very famous story. He says, two men went up to the temple to pray. A Pharisee. Now, you've got to think, when you see Pharisee, you have to think good person, not bad person. Today, we think Pharisee, bad person. Then, Pharisee means the most upstanding person, okay? The best person in church. And the other, a tax collector. Think bad person. Worst person. Politician. I don't know. Banker. Whoever your worst person is. The Pharisee stood up by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. Robbers, evildoers, adulterers. We never do that, do we? We never say, oh, I'm not like them. At least I didn't do that. At least I don't do that. We never do that, do we? I thank him not like them, or even like this tax collector. Oh, he's the worst. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all I get. I mean, good person. Wow. More of those in our church, please. Oh. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and he said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other one, rather than the Pharisee, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. This is the heart of prayer. This is the heart of a relationship with God. It is coming based on deep humility and brokenness, coming based not on our performance, but on the grace of God. Real prayer. The real you. And amazingly, God says, welcome. Welcome. Verse 6, Jesus says, when you pray like that, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. There is practical advice and profound spiritual truth here. Firstly, practical, when you pray, try to go somewhere where you won't be distracted. Close the door, turn off your devices. God is unseen, he says. Prayer is challenging, but here's the radical thing, and we'll get into this more next week. There's this encouragement to approach God, not as the Holy One or the Creator or the Righteous One, but as Father. And again, this would have just been mind-blowing to those listening. You know, the Jews, they wouldn't even take the name of God on their lips. And yet Jesus keeps referring to him, and you see him do it three times here, as their Father. Father God in the most intimate terms. And we might think, well, that's okay for Jesus. I mean, he's the unique Son of God. But Jesus says that we are invited into the same intimacy with God that he has. It's amazing. Because at its heart, prayer is about the children of God, which is what being a Christian is. It's becoming a child of God. Meeting our Heavenly Father. Coming to experience his presence. Prayer is about an encounter with the divine. With this God who, it says, Jesus says, who sees you. Do you know that God sees you? Sometimes we can wonder, am I being seen? God sees you. He loves you. You know, this, of course, doesn't mean that you should never pray with others. What it means is that we should never pray to the audience of others. That our kind of time with others should be an overflow of our time with God our Father. And the beauty of this, did you notice, is that Jesus says we get rewarded. You see that? Your Heavenly Father will reward you. The word that actually is used here for room is really interesting because it's the word that's for a storeroom, a hidden storeroom where treasure would be kept. Jesus says that there is treasure that your Heavenly Father wants to reward you with as you pray, as you encounter God. You meet with your Father in secret. And one of the greatest gifts of all is actually God's presence. You know, the presence of God can be found in the darkest of times and it can change everything. Corrie ten Boom, the Holocaust survivor, she wrote this. She said, I have experienced his, God's presence, in the deepest hell that man can create. I have really tested the promises of the Bible and believe me, you can count on them. That is what prayer can achieve. But the reality is that so many people, their experience of prayer is not an encounter with God. They don't experience his presence. And I believe that that is something that God really wants to change for us, if that's true for you. But it can only happen if we're honest. At first. So are you being honest? Are you being real with God in prayer? Are you bringing your doubts, your questions, your pain, your sin? You know, in the last few years, I've been learning a lot about prayer, or probably more accurately, I've been discovering that I don't know a lot about prayer. I had a sabbatical a couple of years ago. I spent a lot of time staying in monasteries, context where there's lots of prayer. And I started reading a book by Teresa of Avila. And it's called The Interior Castle. And she, in this book, she describes these encounters with God which were so extraordinary, just her and God. And as I read them, I had to be honest with myself and admit that that wasn't my experience most of the time, especially on my own. And I was asking God, why is that? And it kind of leads me to the next way that Jesus says not to pray. So Jesus says, stop pretending, get real. But secondly, he says, stop talking and start listening. Stop talking and start listening. Verse 7, when you pray, do not keep babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Pagans at the time, they believed if they named all their gods, and if they prayed their prayers over and over again, they were more likely to be heard. But we can kind of think a bit similarly. You know, we think, well, maybe if I pray hard enough to God, God will give me what I'm asking for. Maybe I've just not prayed enough. You know, we can have those superstitious views of God. It says, well, I better go to church. I better pray. I better say grace, or something bad might happen to me. You know, those views of God, they see God as distant, hard to please, reluctant to act. Maybe that's how you see God at the moment. And Jesus says, no, God is not like that. God is not like us. Amen? God is our Father. He is your Father, he says. He sees you. He loves you more than you can imagine. Well, does this mean that we just shouldn't pray for very long then? Well, no, because the Bible says, pray continually in Thessalonians. As you said earlier, Suzanne. What are we told to not do? Don't babble. No one knows what that means, by the way. It's kind of unknown word. It's kind of filling the space with mindless words. That's the whole kind of point. Praying in a way that your heart and your mind aren't even engaged. But here's the key. Is that true prayer really needs silence. Silence of heart, silence of mind, silence in the room. We have so little silence in life. I wonder if that's why so many struggle to hear God. Ecclesiastes 5 verse 2 says this, do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven. You are on earth, so let your words be few. You know, prayer is supposed to be a conversation. But it's supposed to be a conversation where we actually hear the voice of God. Yes, we can speak. But how much time do we spend listening to God? And you might think, well, how do you even listen in prayer? And we're going to explore that more in this series. But one of the keys is to pray using the Word of God. A lot of us sometimes think about Bible study and prayer as separate activities, and they are not supposed to be. You know, we're supposed to read and pray the Word of God into our lives. To allow that to actually shape us, to shape our prayers, to be able to hear God's voice as we read and as we pray. You know, it's why praying the Psalms is so helpful. I pray the Psalms every day. It was Jesus' prayer book. It should be ours too. And here's the point. You know, the purpose of prayer is not to inform God about things that he already knows. It's not bringing our list to God. Verse 8, your Father knows what you need before you ask him. God already knows that. Prayer is not making sure our voice is heard. It's making sure our Father's voice is heard by us. Mother Teresa puts it this way. She says, prayer is not asking. Prayer is putting oneself in the hands of God at his disposition and listening to his voice in the depth of our hearts. And of course, there is asking in prayer. We're told to ask for things. God is very generous. There are actually 6 petitions in the Lord's Prayer, but the first 3 are actually all about God. It's about His name, His kingdom, His will. True prayer begins with God with a listening stance. You know, in prayer, we get drawn into the bigger picture of what God is doing in the world. It's not our plans being brought to God. It's God's plans being revealed to us. You know, it's not us changing God's mind. It's actually God wanting to change us. You know, sometimes the reason we see so little change in our own lives is because we're not having that shaping influence of God in prayer. Martin Luther said, by our praying, we are instructing ourselves more than God. You know, and then even when we come to praying for things for us, those last 3 petitions are not actually requests just for us. They are for one another. You know, it's give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. Forgive, lead and deliver us. It's the prayer you'll be able to see as we move through this. The Lord's Prayer kind of mirrors the 2 greatest commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind and soul. That's the first 3 petitions. And then what's the 2nd commandment? Love your neighbor as yourself. The we requests. You know, as I reflected on my prayer life, I realized I was far too focused on asking God for things that I thought I needed, or even that I thought the church needed, rather than trusting God, rather than simply seeking God's face, listening for His voice. And as I started to try and listen more, as I prayed the Psalms, as I prayed the Lord's Prayer daily, I started to have some of the deepest encounters with God that I have ever had in my life. It's profound. Why? Why is that? Well, it's because when we come to listen rather than speak, we get to hear God's voice. We get to hear the voice of the one who made everything, who loves us, who is for us. A voice that reminds us we are His children. Reminds us we're safe in His hands, that He holds the future, who through His divine power has given us everything we need already for life and godliness, the Bible says. You know, on the cross, Jesus declared, it is finished. What is finished? Well, the great work to provide for our deepest needs is done. Amen? Yeah, evil is defeated. Sin has been paid for. Death has been conquered. Forgiveness has been won. There is so much that Christ has won for us. And in prayer, we kind of get to receive and unlock those realities in our lives. In prayer, God says, oh, did you know that Jesus also won this for you? Jesus won this for you. Jesus won this. Did you not know that God is working all things together for the good of those who love Him? Everything. Oh, did you not know this? Did you not know? And it's like, oh, wow. And we get in the midst of a world with all its trouble and pain and worry, we suddenly get a bigger perspective. We suddenly get a deeper security. We suddenly hear stuff that is unchanging, eternal truth. We have an invitation to come and rest in His presence. Prayer is an invitation to come to God as you are. Come not saying, look what I've done for you, God, look what I deserve, give me this, give me that. It's to come and say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And God says, there is mercy in abundance for you. Do you need God's mercy this morning? Do you need a fresh encounter with God? Do you need to meet God for the first time? You know, Jesus said, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Do you need peace today? In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. You know, this week, I want to encourage us to go into our rooms every day and to pray that prayer for mercy. Pray with honesty to the Father who loves you, and to remember that your Father might have some things he wants to say to you. To take time to be silent, to be still, to listen for his voice. And as you do that, to start just praying the Lord's Prayer. And as you pray the Lord's Prayer, just slowly just say, God, speak to me. Show me more of who you are. Let me meet with you. And I'd love us to do that even just now. Let's be still. I'm just going to read the Lord's Prayer very slowly. You can kind of echo it in your heart. But I'm just going to pause between each line and just ask the Lord to speak to you. Our Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation. But deliver us from the evil one.